Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. So we are continuing in our Blessed Are the Peacemakers sermon series, and I have two gospel readings for us today. The first is from the Gospel according to Luke. I invite you to remain seated just because I don't want you to stand for a long time, but I do want you to hear these words. From Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Our second scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel according to John, from the first chapter, verses 16 and 17. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, as we continue to live into your promise of being peacemakers, of receiving your peace, open our hearts this day. Help us continue in this journey of Jesus giving up his life at the cross and the lessons that he taught those closest to him, that we now stand to hear those lessons again, that we may grow in our faith, in our fellowship, and in our discipleship of following in your pathways. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So when we started this, and I go back and I remind us of where we've been, because it's helpful for us, because knowing where we've been also helps us know where we are right now. So way back in the beginning of July, there was a sermon that Don offered and Pastor Amy led that invited us to consider anxiety and its presence in our lives and the call to turn it over to Jesus. And then we've been talking each week about some aspect about how anxiety impacts our day-to-day lives and what are some of those common responses to that anxiety. And I know that there are situational anxiety circumstances, and then there might be the ones that just totally grip our physical bodies and can be quite debilitating. And so this is not a substitute for primary care, physician care, or therapy, but rather how do we reflect in this idea of anxiety and our responses in light to the story of Jesus and this life of being faithful disciples. So the first response, typical response to anxiety, could be what? Stress, and what could we do? Fight? Right, or flight, right? Those are those two responses, because when we experience anxiety, our body is trying to keep us safe, and so we either lash out in order to address the thing that's causing us that anxiety, or we might try to flee. So in that fight response, we heard this, right? Because when Jesus was teaching Peter that my life, I'm going to give it up. And, you know, being at that garden and the guards coming to take Jesus, what did Peter do? Peter whipped out a sword and cut off the ear of one of the Roman soldiers as a way of mitigating his anxiety in that circumstance, right? He was fighting against it. And Jesus said, no, no, put away your sword. Put your sword away. And healed the one who had been injured. And so oftentimes for us, we might fight, right? Where we might have difficult conversations with someone because we're just not operating at our quote-unquote normal because anxiety has hijacked our systems, and we may say something that we can't take back. And then it may cause division in our families or in our workplaces or amongst our friends. And so what are some of those ways is to maybe take a breath, to pause and to breathe and think, is this really how I want to respond in this situation, right? And then the next survival response from anxiety is what? Flight, right? To flee, to just leave that circumstance altogether. And when Jesus' disciples saw what was coming, they abandoned Jesus. They left Jesus, right? Because they didn't know what the future was going to hold. They didn't want to be put into the hands of the authorities. They wanted to be able to get away from that threat on their own lives, even though Jesus invited them to stay and work through the discomfort of that season. And for us, when we flight or we flee, sometimes, you know, we just get out of the situation altogether, right? And when we just say, hey, I'm just going to quit because I don't want to deal with this anymore, I challenged y'all to think about what impact does that have on those that you leave behind, right? What is that response to those people that you leave behind? And something that I didn't mention in that response is what happens if you quit on yourself? Right? Because anxiety, you're just like, I don't want to do this anymore, right? And we might quit on ourselves. And then I spoke about fight, flight, and then what? Freeze, right? Where you are just, I don't know if I can move forward. I don't know if I can move back. I don't know what to do, right? I am like in this spot. And here's the thing, when we talked about the freezing part of our response to anxiety is sometimes when we freeze, we don't make the choices that we need to make. We don't take the actions that we need to take. And by not doing those things, that in and of itself is a choice and action. And it can have consequences for those around us. You know, to not have that. And freeze, you know, for us, as we talked about, overcommitment, right? Of like, man, I'm frozen. I don't know what to do with this. And then there was the fawn, the appeasing. To basically assess and mitigate circumstances. And maybe that's where the overcommitment part comes in a little bit more. But this idea that I'm trying to be everything for everybody and it's not doing myself any good, right? I'm abandoning myself. I need to set healthy boundaries. And that's hard because we want to make people happy. We want to keep them feeling good, right? But at the expense of what? Our own well-being or the well-being of the community? It's a really hard thing to consider. And so when we think about today, and I hold it in line with a couple of things that have impacted, it's interesting how we have scripture in the story, but also how what I'm doing outside of preparing for worship is also informing how we come into this space. The first that I shared with you was a book written by Sarah Wilson because it's called First We Make the Beast Beautiful. where she gives this story about her own journey through debilitating anxiety and OCD and eating disorders, and how she has not seen it as a bad thing, but how she has used it, recognizing its giftedness to her and how to live in that in order to be the best version of herself. And then you have life naturals. I think I inadvertently called them life normals, and it's actually life naturals. Those people who don't have that anxiety running through their life on a normal basis, who can just go with the flow. Do y'all, any of y'all have people like that in your life that you're just like, how does that person do that, right? Because I'm over here wallowing in my own anxiety and trying to figure out what my life is going to look like. And so there's this balance of like, oh man, if I could just live within that life naturals scope, right? And that tends to cause some friction when you are trying to understand each other in that dynamic. And I think that's similar to our own dynamic with God. Right? That we have life circumstances that causes us to get anxious, or how do I do this in a way that I can reflect my faith in God into the workplace and not contradict, you know, the goodness and the grace and the mercy that God offers to us. And then she speaks to something, and I've heard this in other places as well, that ultimately, friends, when we feel anxiety or we're living in that place, it's because we want our lives to have meaning. We're trying to make sense of our lived reality. And this is where we hear that, right? We want our lives to mean something, that we're seeking that little piece that just seems out of reach. And when we're trying to reach for it, that's when that anxiety builds and we're trying to understand. And when we come to church, particularly, we're wanting God's grace to work into our lives. And we come because we're wanting to have meaning and understanding of who we've been created to be. And we also understand that sin is pervasive and gets in the way of living into the fullness of who God has created us to be. There's this inherent brokenness. And we understand that. And then that just causes more anxiety of like, how can I fix this? Here's the reality. We can't fix it on our own. Do y'all hear me? We cannot fix it on our own. We need God to intercede on our behalf. We need God's grace to work in and through our lives. I've spent the past 3 days in training online. I don't recommend it. I need to be in the room with somebody to learn something new, but this was how the class was offered. And it was offered, it was called a CISM certification. So crisis intervention, critical, I can't even remember what it is. But anyway, it's like in crisis situations, there are all these acronyms, and I have a list, but I can't remember them. But it's critical incident stress management, that like when something horrible happens to us, how can we provide psychological first aid to somebody? Because whatever that circumstances is, you know, here's our adaptive function, our typical status, right? But when anxiety comes, we're not functioning at our best, which is what we've been talking about for the past 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And the question is, how do we get that person to come out of that situation enough to return to a place where they can make better decisions, operate a little bit, not have that stress and anxiety run through their bodies. And holding this of meaning-making, of wanting our lives to make sense, and recognizing that we are all going to have circumstances in our lives that causes us to not function as well as we can, how does God's grace intercede for us? So I'm curious, when you have been at maybe a really difficult moment in your own lives, has anybody done something for you that really provided compassionate care to you? Like it was totally unexpected, you couldn't have asked for it, and it met that need for you in the moment? I'm looking, I mean, you know, because I'm thinking like some, you know, may have, I'm 3 years out from it, but I know that I had an automobile accident, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And Kathy came and picked me up. I would never have asked for that, but it was a piece of compassionate care of, I'm going to come pick you up, right? Or you've just had the longest day ever going through doctor's appointments, and you can't even think about what you're going to do for dinner, and then someone shows up at your door with a meal. That compassionate care of recognizing that those that we know and love may be going through difficult times, and how we offer that care, right? How we love them, how we show them grace and mercy in those moments. And that is what God does for us. That ultimate moment of showing up and offering us compassion and grace came through Jesus. And so when we hear scripture today of do not store your treasures on earth, but store them in heaven, that grace and mercy and compassion are those treasures that are offered to us through God, right? And then there's this warning of you don't know when the thief is going to come, but be prepared. That means that we are called to live in a state of readiness, which thinking about may cause us more anxiety. Do you know what I mean? Be like, we have to constantly be on alert. But maybe constantly being on alert is just trusting that God's with us no matter the moment or circumstance. That we don't have to have all the answers. That there may be a moment where we fight or we flight or we freeze or we appease or whatever that might be. And even in the midst of any of those responses, maybe our peace comes from knowing that God is present with us. That is the compassion that God shares with us. For don't we hear that Jesus was God in the flesh, incarnate, God with us? I will be with you always to the end of the ages, and I'm sending to you an advocate, the Holy Spirit, that will live within you, that when we breathe in and we breathe out, we are reminded of the presence of God. Friends, that's where our peace can come from. And so I'm going to offer a prayer for us before we go into our statement of faith. And it's based on St. Francis's prayer. Have y'all heard of St. Francis of Assisi? Big proponent of selling everything that he had, and often the patron saint of animals. And I'm thankful for this. It says, the world needs peace builders, not conflict avoiders, quiet watchers, or those who give up to preserve a false peace. Christ is calling for us to be shaped by his Spirit and grace so that we may offer gifts of compassion to a hurting world. This is what it means to be an instrument of God's peace. And now let me offer this St. Francis prayer for us. Let us pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.